Well, hello, my friends, and welcome back. My name is Stephanie Safarian, and you're listening to episode 447 of Sustainable Minimalists. This is a show about intentional and eco-friendly minimalist living. And on today's show, we are discussing, oh my goodness, hold on to your hats, regenerative agriculture. It's a mouthful. It can sound scary and intimidating, but we're going to break it all down for you today. Multiple listeners reached out to me in the past, I don't know, maybe six-ish months, saying, oh my goodness, Stephanie, have you watched the Kiss the Ground documentary on Netflix? You need to interview somebody from the nonprofit Kiss the Ground who created the documentary. And so I thought to myself, hold up, let me watch the documentary first. And oh my goodness, if you have not watched it yet, go watch it. And for those of you who have not watched it, here are a couple of the main takeaways. Number one, this planet, our home, it's becoming a desert. Since chemical agriculture ramped up in the 1970s, we have lost one third of our topsoil worldwide. And that's a big fat problem. I mean, you might not be thinking about topsoil on a daily basis. I don't necessarily think about the world's topsoil on a daily basis, but the key point here is no topsoil, no food. Nature knows what it's doing, but our modern farming practices, our transition to monocrop farming, which my guest will discuss in today's episode, it's messing with nature and it's degrading our soil to our own detriment and perhaps our own demise. These modern farming methods are not concerned with soil longevity or quality or health. And so what's the solution? My guest today argues that regenerative farming not only restores soil, but it also stores carbon. It reduces the need for chemicals to help improve yield, so make the most amount of food possible. Now, regenerative agriculture at its base is about letting nature do what nature was designed to do. Using cover crops, minimal tilling, using organic practices that avoid those chemicals, composting. And so the documentary really hits home the point. And by the way, watch the documentary. It's linked in the show notes. But the documentary drives home the point that if we adopt regenerative farming practices, we can reverse carbon release into the atmosphere, we can stabilize the climate, and it won't take all that long. Holy moly. All that by just paying attention to our soil health? Yes. Yes, my friends. So today, to help me break down this topic so that all of us, because we all eat food, right? So that all of us can understand is Evan Harrison. Evan is the CEO of Kiss the Ground, which is the nonprofit that is dedicated to educating you and me all about the importance of regenerative agriculture. Evan, I'm so thrilled to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Stephanie. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Again, thank you for giving me your time. We're here today to discuss regenerative agriculture. Like, let's just first break down the term. It sounds big, it sounds scary, intimidating, confusing. So tell us about yourself, but then also tell us how you found yourself interested in this big, scary phrase, regenerative agriculture.
I love it. So I spent 25 years in music, media, got into digital early. So became an innovator in the media space, in the music space, utilizing digital to reach people. The number one challenge music companies, my first job was at a record company. The number one challenge was letting people know their favorite artists had a new song coming out. And what we realized pretty quickly was the internet was a much more efficient way. I'm talking 1997. Versus going to record stores and doing promotions to let people know their favorite artist had a new release coming out. And I share that to say the internet was scary in 1997. I don't write code, but all of a sudden I had a job as the head of online marketing for a record company. And what I realized was it's not about writing the code. It's about making it easy for people to understand and easy for people to use to learn about and really enjoy entertainment. So after spending quite a long time doing all that. I always served on the board of a charity that spoke to me, started with a music charity. And then I went on to the Surfrider Foundation. And that's when I started learning more about environmentalism. And I would bring my daughter along to the events. And we would listen to the CEO of the Surfrider Foundation, a double PhD, give talks about plastic pollution, runoff, and all of these issues. She was very intrigued by environmentalism as well. And she joined a nonprofit when we were living in Colorado and came to me when I was producing a music festival. And she said, "Dad, can you help me promote a film that we're premiering? It's got some old guy that you probably know. I think his name's Woody in it." And it was Woody Harrelson. And the film was Kiss the Ground. And I cut down to 90 seconds, the 5-minute clip she gave me. And as I was watching the clip, my jaw was on the floor. I'd never heard of regenerative agriculture. I didn't know it existed. And I felt embarrassed. And my eyes were open after seeing the film Kiss the Ground, which was created by the organization, named after the organization, with filmmakers Josh and Rebecca Tickell. So the work in regenerative agriculture for Kiss the Ground actually started 11 years ago, yet the film didn't launch until 2020. That's how I learned the term, which I agree was scary and a mouthful. And as life has it, I decided when my son got accepted to an art school in Los Angeles and we were going to quit our jobs and move to Los Angeles, I didn't want to work in music anymore, but I wanted to apply my skill set to something that meant a lot to me. And I started looking into environmental causes. And it just so happened, I heard from a recruiter who said, "Hey, we're looking for new leadership at Kiss the Ground. Have you heard of it?" And I'm scratching my head saying, "Sounds familiar. Yeah, I saw the film. Of course I've heard of it." That's how I came into the movement only a couple of years ago. And other than meeting my local farmers at the farmers market, I knew very little about agriculture. So I was incredibly intimidated. Yet I dove in, and what I realized pretty quickly was, while a lot of scientists and a lot of people have been involved really paving the way, and farmers who are on the cutting edge have been talking about regenerative agriculture for the last 10 or so years, it's vastly unknown as a viable solution for the climate, wellness, and water crisis that is now no longer really debated.
I'm thinking about your whole answer there. You mentioned how the internet brought music, new music, to people, made it easier. And the film Kiss the Ground is making it easier for those of us who have no idea about regenerative agriculture to be introduced to the topic. I've had multiple listeners reach out and say, number one, have you seen this movie? And number two, you need to interview someone from the nonprofit. And so here we are, we're doing it. When we talk about this big topic, I think it might be helpful for us to start by explaining the problems. And when I talk about problems, I'm talking about unhealthy soil. I must admit, the only soil I ever really think about is in my little backyard garden that may or may not produce some vegetables. But on a larger scale, what's the problem with unhealthy soil, growing our food in unhealthy soil? What are the consequences of unhealthy soil on the large scale?
The consequences are dire and they're plentiful. You've heard talk of the study, and it's a hotly debated topic about how many harvests do we have left. It was published a while back that there are 60 harvests left. That would be down to about 50 now. The truth of the matter is approximately a third of farmland has degraded soil. And that's a pretty alarming statistic. And with degraded soil, it's hard to grow anything that is nutrient dense. Big step back is the way farming used to work was there was produce being grown that made sense for that region. And there was animals integrated into the farm, and there were lots of different products being grown. And when industrialization went towards single monocrop farming, you had these massive farms that just did corn or wheat or soy. And with these massive farms, the soil had not been the focus. The focus was yielding this one crop. And once that crop was harvested, the soil was left barren. Barren soil tends to get degraded and just isn't as healthy. So it absorbs less water and it starts to manifest into other issues. So chemicals were added to aid in the production of growing those singular crops. And then GMO came into effect because the chemicals were hurting the plants. So then new seeds were developed that would withstand the chemicals. So not being a scientist, I look at that and say, that doesn't seem very sustainable. And it isn't. So the soil gets degraded and you're propping up nature as opposed to working with nature. So healthy soil sequesters carbon, which, as we know, there's too much carbon in the atmosphere. We're all dealing with weird weather, no longer deniable. Plants, in the first principle of regenerative agriculture, which is referred to as cover crops, just having something covering the land, whatever seasonally makes sense, that enriches the soil by bringing down carbon from the atmosphere. So you're really taking care of two issues with that one simple cover crop. And that in turn breeds healthier soil, absorbs more water, as opposed to when the rains come, just running off and taking more soil away from the farm. And it becomes, again, just a full circle of working with nature as opposed to trying to trick nature.
So what I think I hear you saying there, Evan, and correct me if I'm wrong, but in the years after the Industrial Revolution, agriculture shifted from caring for the soil first as the primary goal, perhaps, to growing the most amount of food possible first. Yield, right? We cared more about yield. I'm wondering how pesticides, herbicides, insecticides fall into this conversation, because as somebody who's not a farmer, I'm just going to go ahead and guess that these synthetic chemicals being put into our soil is not good for it. Is that correct?
That is correct. And I will answer from a very simple perspective, and that is profit. The monocrop farming model was created with great intent to feed the growing population. It wasn't until problems started to pop up that solutions were turned to that we didn't know at the time were going to erode and degrade the soil at the rate that they have. So what I would say was it made sense at the time, and farmers have never thought they were doing the wrong thing by any stretch. It just seemed to make a lot of sense to produce efficiently as much corn, as much wheat, et cetera, as we can. And when the soil stopped behaving, the easiest solution was to use chemicals to aid in that growing process without knowingly degrading the soil.
These chemicals then become a short-term solution without a look at the larger picture, I think is the point there. But again, my listeners, they might not be thinking about how the soil in which their bag of flour, the wheat that then was tilled into the bag of flour, they might not see the connection. What is unhealthy soil doing to the quality and the nutrient density of our food?
So let me answer the question this way. I raised my kids in a town called Montclair in New Jersey, right up a hill, only 12 miles from Manhattan. And we had an amazing farmer's market we went to every Sunday. And we would always stop by and talk to the farmers. The fruits and vegetables just tasted so good. And obviously, they only brought what was in season. And it was noticeable that their broccoli tasted different than store-bought, as did their tomatoes, whatever was in season. I think everybody can get to a farmer's market where they talk to the farmer and they understand how the food is grown, what the food is grown, what their process is, and we'll notice a taste difference. It's been proven that the nutrient density of the foods that are chemically treated and are not grown from healthy soil, not only do they not taste as good, which we can all observe, but the nutrient density has gone way down. The amount of vitamins, minerals, and just overall health benefits. So that's been proven. It's been written about many times. Many scientists have documented. So the reason, you know, conscious consumers and your audience are looking at labels is they want to know what they're ingesting. And really, what I would encourage everybody to think about is not just focusing on calories when you're shopping. Look at the ingredients and try and figure out where something is coming from. If it's been packaged and shipped, it's simply not going to be as fresh. And oftentimes there need to be preservatives. And the healthy soil and the local angle just simply makes sense for so many reasons. And the farm example I shared with you, this is a farm that was only about an hour and a half from New York City. And it's a family-run farm, as many are. And they had various species of livestock, which were integrated into their land. So you have the chickens, you have the cows. They are being rotated in a very strategic fashion. Their manure is the feed for the healthy soil. That is a key component. Their hoofs are breaking it up instead of tilling. And it's called controlled grazing, placing them in an area and then moving them to another area so that area has a chance to recover. And then that's the food for the cows. And it becomes self-sustaining. So that's breeding healthy soil. The healthy soil is then absorbing more water and becomes more nutrient dense, utilizing the cover crops, which we talked about earlier. All of this lessens the reliance on any chemicals or what's referred to in the industry as inputs, because you mentioned profit. Profit's important. Farmers have to be able to make a profit. And when doing it this way, it's also been proven to be more profitable. All of this is incredibly simple, yet also complex. Government subsidies support massive monocrop farms and doing things the way that is not sustainable. And the way I look at it is only 4% of the US adult population knows that regenerative agriculture is a viable solution for our water, wellness, and climate crisis. So you have to start there. We have to get that to the tipping point of knowledge. And everybody doesn't need to understand the science. They need to remember that regenerative is a good thing because that's working in sync with nature as opposed to against it with chemicals and trying to prop things up. And it's a very natural process. And with that, a lot of good things happen. Our food becomes more nutrient dense. We help balance, draw down carbon from the climate. And with healthy soil, there's more absorption of water. As the masses get to understand that, that's a meaningful thing. And according to Malcolm Gladwell, 10% is that tipping point. We're at about 4% now. So through storytelling and through conversations like this with your audience, more people are going to learn about it. If they just remember regenerative is good and they start talking to their local farmers, they start looking at labels, what is regenerative? That's a really good start.
Well, Evan, we need to take our sponsor break. But before we do that, I just want to go back to a number you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation. You said there perhaps may be only 60 harvests left, I believe you said. Can you speak more on that before we take our break?
That's actually very contested. There, you could do a Google on that. You'll see so much going on there, but that's not research we have led, and it's a very polarizing topic, but it's often referred to that there are 50, 60 harvests left.
All right, so we'll take our sponsor break, but when we come back, Evan, I want to discuss what listeners can do. Is it as simple as supporting our local farmers? I want to know, what can I do? We'll do that after a quick sponsor break. And we're back. Today, I'm speaking with Evan Harrison. He is the CEO of Kiss the Ground, a nonprofit dedicated to educating you and me about regenerative agriculture. I need to get that right. It's like a tongue twister, Evan. So before the break...
You can go with Regen Ag. After you've said the full mouthful, you can just go with Regen Ag.
Regen Ag, so much easier. So we're on to the part of today's conversation where I want to know what I can do. As somebody who obviously buys and eats food, what can I do?
It's a great question, and it's also a very broad spectrum. At the entry level, what I would say is, like me, I learned about this, and I watched the film again because there was so much information, and I didn't know where to begin, other than it made me rethink, wow. Do I have a skill set that could help move this message forward? I think so. So I think for everybody, it's going to be a different answer. And the name Kiss the Ground comes from a Rumi quote, which is, there are 100 ways to kneel and kiss the ground, meaning we all have our own way to connect to nature. And for some, it's going to be as simple as just being informed. And the way you can get informed and stay informed is just come to kisstheground.com, sign up for our newsletter, and we make sure to communicate in a way that is easy to digest and doesn't alienate, because we believe for a movement to really gain the momentum that it will have to, we have to be incredibly inclusive. So we try and keep things super simple. So just being aware that regenerative agriculture, and you could just say regeneration, you know, organic farming only got to a certain point. And there's a whole host of reasons why. Yet regenerative is a solution that can absolutely scale. There are already 35 million acres in the United States that are in transition to regenerative agriculture. So, you know, the amount of organic acreage is a fraction of that. And it's not an us versus them. So I want to be clear about that. So the first thing is just being aware of where your food is being sourced from and how it is being farmed. That's the entry level. For those who want to dive deeper, we have on-demand courses, as do others. So I would recommend taking an on-demand course to learn a little bit more about soil health. And there are lots of guides made available as well. So some people really care deeply about the science and the climate issue. And some simply want to know the connection to the food they're choosing to ingest for their health. And we just started because we looked out there and said, there is no one-stop shop for how to shop regeneratively. So we've launched our first two guides, and we're going to do a new one every month. The first one was things that we like in the supermarket that are regenerative. And the second one, right before Valentine's Day, was your guide to regenerative wine and chocolate. And we're just going to keep going because there are very few go-to resources. So Kiss the Ground, as I mentioned, started 11 years ago now. If you do a Google search for regenerative agriculture, you'll see us pop up right after Wikipedia. And the reason being, we have so many free resources on our website to dive in and to learn more. And for people who don't want to read, we make available videos such as our filmmaking partners, Josh and Rebecca Tickell, really put the movement on the map with Kiss the Ground, but not everybody wants to watch a full documentary. So we have 10-minute mini documentaries, which are nice little bite-sized stories that connect you more deeply. So I would encourage everybody to find their path, first and foremost, to learn, to dive in deeper with On Demand. And then if advocacy is your passion, we always have an effort where there are petitions being signed, and we're going to DC, and we're meeting with all the right people. So there are ways to get involved on the advocacy side. And the biggest one I will say is getting your peers at the company you work at, whether it's 10 people or 10,000 people to really start the conversation, not just about supply chain, but every company can do something about the environmental and wellness crisis, which can be corrected with regenerative agriculture. And that's just by starting the learning and the conversation at a company level, because I believe hiring employees under the age of 30 now, they're going to ask what you're doing for the environment. And shareholders are starting to ask for all the right reasons. So, you know, really getting the company to focus on how they can help. And we set up a whole program just for that, because companies are coming to us every day saying, hey, we don't know how to talk about this. We want to get involved. We saw the film. Or, you know, somebody in my marketing department told me I should reach out to Kiss the Ground. So we've come up with programs to make it easier for companies to start that conversation.
I have a couple questions, just a couple, maybe we'll call this rapid fire questions. My first is there any talk in getting some third party certification for products that are created with regenerative farming methods? I mean, there's certifications for everything these days. How about a regenerative one?
There are currently close to a dozen, I believe, certifiers of regenerative. And they are referenced on our shopping guides for regeneratively sourced products that I just mentioned earlier. There is not a clearly market-leading understood certification yet. But now that we're having this conversation, depending upon where you shop for your groceries, you will notice regenerative certifications. And what we've done on our website is we've broken down how each one goes about it and how to think about each one of the certifiers.
I'm just also then thinking about the access issue. Organic food tends to be expensive, more expensive, sometimes significantly more expensive than the pesticide-laden counterpart. What is Kiss the Ground's stance on accessibility as it relates to regenerative food?
It's a really good question. Where the market is at right now, you're correct. It is more expensive. Yet, I believe you've got big box stores who have certain buying power and are able to really bring down the prices for some organic fruits and vegetables and foods. What I will say is, back to the four key constituents I talked about earlier, general awareness of the population, education, part through partnerships, companies doing their piece, and then policy change. My thinking is that as all of those things come together, and as farmers are rightfully making a greater profit, there will be an opportunity to make this food more abundant and food grown the right way, I would say, at fair prices. So with all of those things coming together, I believe that's the direction it's going to head in. We're absolutely not there today. And our feeling is, and the reason we're passionate about this and the work we do is, you know, we make sure our education and and our grants, and we're really dropping down all barriers, be it socioeconomic, geographics. The movement has to be inclusive. It has to be for everybody. And that's the goal.
Yeah, because unhealthy soil is bad for everybody, right? It's bad for the farmer. It's bad for us. It's bad for everybody. And so everybody needs to get involved. And I love the fact that you've said that a couple times. So speaking of all of us getting involved, tell us where we can learn more about Kiss the Ground, sign up for your mailing list, tell us all the things.
Yeah, the main thing is just kisstheground.com. You will have an opportunity to go really deep or just to follow us on socials and kind of skim the surface. And they're all incredibly helpful for the movement. So find your way to get involved. And I believe everybody will find something that resonates.
Evan, I want to thank you so much for your time. I learned an awful lot. I must just say, I've been signing up for my local CSA for the last 10-ish years for many reasons, you know, reducing food miles, supporting my local farmer, etc. But now I have another reason, which is to support his regenerative efforts. I now have another reason to spend a little bit more for my organic fruits and vegetables that he's growing for me. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. I appreciate it.
Listeners, that's a wrap. My friends, show notes are at mamaminimalist.com/447. And I just want to piggyback a little bit off of what Evan was saying. I asked, you know, the question I ask almost all my guests, what are the action steps? What can we do? And he aptly made the point that we should get involved, join Kiss the Ground's mailing list. I want to just say, yes, do that. However, let's not also forget the tried and true staples of conscious and intentional living, especially when it comes to our food. Find a local farm that you can support. Make sure they're participating in regenerative practices. And certainly, you probably can't buy all your food from your local farmer, but when you go to the grocery store, if you have the funds, if funds allow, can you purchase the organic items or the pasture-raised meat if you are eating meat or the pasture-raised eggs if you eat eggs, right? Can you spend a little bit more on a product that was grown thoughtfully? I must say too, if you are not gardening yet, perhaps this is the year you garden, compost your scraps, and then use your compost in your garden. That is regenerative 101. And finally, if you have no interest in gardening, but you may be on board with composting, you can still compost if you don't garden. You can do so in your backyard. Perhaps you don't have a backyard. Look into whether your municipality offers city or town-wide composting. Those are all options for you. So I so hope this episode gave you something else to think about. We'll be back on Thursday. I'll see you then, and take care.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.